I'd like to call this council and committee meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of council are present.
Thank you. There are no announcements. I'm going to hold them this week until next week. We had a lot of activity going on last weekend, so we'll deal with that at a regular council meeting. There is an addendum with respect to report PDS 53-2016, and not an addendum, but we also have a special council meeting which will commence immediately following the regular council and committee meeting so that we can deal with the minutes of the Environmental Advisory Committee from June the 8th. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? Councillor Luberts.
Okay. So I have a pecuniary interest with IS-19-2016, as I do business with Safari Niagara.
Right. And Councillor Luberts, do you have the same pecuniary interest?
Yes. Thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. I know I have it, but I don't have my iPad open yet. So
it's yes, it is IS-19-2016. If it's with respect to Safari Niagara.
Yes, that's exactly what it will be, yeah.
Yeah, okay, and I also have a similar conflict since my law firm does work for the Tykolis Group. Are there any other disclosures of pecuniary interest? If none, then we'll go to public notices. There are none, but we have a couple of public meetings, and the first relates to a property rezoning with respect to 225 Gilmore Road. So this is a public meeting for council to hear from members of the public with respect to the application that's been made regarding a rezoning of 225 Gilmore Road. We will hear from staff and council will receive some background information with respect to this. Then we'll ask if the proponent wishes to address council, and then we'll hear from the proponent if she wishes or someone on her behalf. And then I'll ask members of the public if they have any comments or questions that they have with respect to this. This is a public meeting pursuant to the Planning Act. So we have here from the town staff. Oh, Ms. Dolch, yes, you were behind the monitor. I couldn't actually see you.
Sullivan.
Michael Sullivan, yes. Good evening, Mr. Sullivan.
Good evening, Your Worship, members of council. A zoning bylaw amendment application has been received for the property known as 223 to 227 Gilmore Road, which is at the corner of, you can see it on the map behind you, it's at the corner of Gilmore Road just east of Mary Street. The applicant requests permission to convert the existing building from a restaurant and one accessory apartment into up to 7 apartments. I confirm that notification of this public meeting was provided in accordance with the requirements of the Planning Act, placing notice in the Fort Erie Times newspaper, and property owners within 120 meters of the subject property were notified by direct mail. There was also a notice put on the town's website. So this is an aerial photograph of the location. You can see the property itself at the top center of the property in yellow. Subject lands are located in the South End neighborhood. Next slide shows an aerial photograph of the property itself. It's identified as number 225, but actually from the municipal side is 223 to 227 Gilmore Road. The official plan for the property, you can see it highlighted in black there on the map, is urban residential. Urban residential includes apartment dwellings as permitted uses. Next slide shows the property in blue. It's the official plan natural heritage designations. And as you can see, there are none. There are no environmental corridors, sensitive areas, etc. for the property. Zoning is the next, and the subject lands are shown in red in the center of that map. Property is zoned residential R2, residential 2R2. Apartment dwellings are not a permitted use in this zone. The application proposes to rezone the property to residential multiple RM2 zone, which will permit apartments. Next one shows the current situation, the current property. There's an existing two-story building on the property, which housed a former restaurant operation, plus one accessory apartment, which was upstairs. And you see at the north end, there's a road widening identified on the property. This was just received from the applicant recently. It shows a total of 6 units on the main floor. These are new units as proposed. And unit number 7 would be the existing unit that is upstairs. So to get into a little bit of detail with you as to the proposed rezoning, the change focuses on use rather than setbacks. And the restaurant use, which is not in operation currently, will cease. One existing accessory apartment upstairs will increase to up to 7 apartments as primary uses rather than accessory. The existing zoning setbacks for the property will be recognized as permitted in the amendment. And what I've shown here on the table is existing versus proposed for the uses for everything else. And if council wishes, I can take them through the specifics. But there are no actual changes. It's just to recognize the existing building. There are no changes externally to this property. It is simply being converted from a restaurant use into the apartments. Next is some photographs that I took on site. Subject property from Gilmore Road. And the backyard of the property, highlighting the parking and the fencing. The final one showing the western side yard and the neighboring property. See the paved area goes right to the property line. And the final one showing the subject property from the opposite side of Gilmore Road. So as far as the timeline for this, how we got to this point, the proponent attended pre-consultation in March of this year. As the town recognized a complete application on April 18th of this year. The neighborhood meeting was held on May 12th. There were no members of the public in attendance at that neighborhood meeting. And the notice of public meeting went out on May 23rd, in accordance with Planning Act requirements. The next steps for this application, our public comments are welcome to be received. Staff report and staff and recommendation report would be coming to council in July. It's anticipated, and then a decision pending council's position would be also July, ideally. Notice of decision would go out, and finally the 20-day notice and appeal period. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sullivan. Do any members of council have any questions? What if you could go back to the slide that has the zoning requirements and what are being proposed? That one, yeah, right there. So the minimum lot area, that is for the parcel of land?
Yes, Your Worship, that is correct.
And this parcel has a little less than a quarter of that, but it does have 2 stories. Is that of any significance?
Your Worship, I don't see that as any significance. The property has existed. The building has existed on that property for a number of years, and it's another term it would be called grandfathered. The use would be there until it was proposed to change.
And do you have any idea how large these rental units will be?
Minimum size, they will all meet minimum size. We've worked with the applicant, the proponent, on the size for quite some time, and they have been able to meet that. There's different sizes based upon whether it's a bachelor, 1-bedroom, or 2-bedroom, and they will meet that.
And then finally, are there going to be any changes to the entrance on Gilmore Road that you're aware of?
Your Worship, not to my knowledge, no.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any questions that councillors have arising out of that? Thank you very much, Mr. Sullivan.
Thank
so at this time, if the proponent or the applicant, Karen Minhas, wishes to speak to council or someone on her behalf, Okay, you're here, and if councillors have any questions later, we can ask. So at this time, I'll ask members of the public if there's anyone who wishes to speak either in favor or opposed. Yes, please come forward. And could we please have your full name and address for the record?
The name is Susan Jovanovic. The address is 479 Niagara Boulevard, Fort Erie. Do you need postal code? L2A3H.
Nope.
Okay. Thank you, Your Worship, and members of council. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to this matter. First, some context, and then my point. Our town's current property standards do not lend clear direction on this matter, and thus makes your task not an easy one. Our three BIAs are aware of current omissions and deficiencies in property standards, which have failed to give bylaw enforcement power to act in derelict properties. The Bridgeburg BIA specifically has prepared recommendations for council and staff to consider in hopes of effectively dealing with unsightly properties, which help keep property values down. This brings me to my point. Clearly, the community needs more high-density residential, like 828 Concession, the Lakeview, and 1 Albany Place. These properties are aesthetically pleasing and are professionally managed and maintained. This ensures property values in these neighborhoods and our town continue in a positive direction for the long term. Specifically regarding 225 Gilmore, if the property owner has other properties that are visibly well maintained, then approval of this zoning amendment would likely be a good one. If, however, the property owner has no other properties, or their other properties are not well maintained, then an approval of this zoning amendment leaves the entire community to bear the cost of what could become another derelict rental property. Your task will be tough, trying to balance the best interests of the neighborhood, the community, and indeed everyone in this room, against that of one property owner. Has the vetting of this property owner been done? That is actually all that I have to say.
Thank you very much. Do any members of council have any questions? Thank you very much, Mr. Jovanovic.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak to council with respect to the matter or ask any questions? Give us an opinion. Okay, if there is nothing further, then I will call this public meeting closed. That will take us then to the second public meeting, which is relative to a property rezoning, and that's with respect to property on Loomis Crescent. And it'll be the same procedure. And is it Mr. Sullivan that will be speaking to that as well, Ms. Dolch? And you'll have the same recognizable face.
Thank you, Your Worship, and members of council. A zoning bylaw amendment application has been received from the owners of the property located on the south side of Loomis Crescent, west of Shannon Road North, with the address of 0 Loomis Crescent. The applicant wishes to rezone the two existing lots to enable new residents to be built on 3 lots. I'll provide more explanation of that shortly. But the third lot will be the subject of an application for consent should this rezoning be approved. Under the Planning Act, notification of this public meeting was provided in accordance with the Planning Act requirements. A notice was placed in the Fort Erie Times newspaper. In addition, property owners within 120 meters of the subject property were notified by direct mail, and a notice was put on the town's website as well. I can draw your attention to the neighborhood location map. This shows the relative location of the property, again shown in yellow, as 0 Loomis Crescent. Subject lands are located in Crystal Beach. This is a closer look at the subject property. In particular, the drawing shows the existing lotting pattern in the area around the subject property. Note that the subject lands originally comprised 3 residential lots and currently comprise 2. This is an aerial image highlighting the subject property. It provides a visual understanding of the built-up nature of the area, including road pattern. The official plan designation shows this as urban residential, and single detached dwellings are a permitted use in the urban residential designation. Note that the lands to the south are designated core mixed use as well, with open space lands to the east. The official plan shows that there are no significant environmental corridors, sensitive features, or other such features within 120 meters of the subject property. Subject lands are zoned residential 2R2, which permits single detached dwellings. The application proposes to change the zoning to a site-specific residential 2R2 to allow for reduced setbacks. This would allow the applicant to seek a new third lot via consent. This shows the current situation. The property, the green, highlights the existing 2 lots. Just an arrow to indicate that there were legally at one time historically there was a third lot in this area. The applicant seeks to reduce both parts for the eventual addition of lot or part 3. Permission for this new lot will be made to the Committee of Adjustment only if the rezoning is approved. There's what's proposed. The applicant proposes 3 lots as shown here. The lands were originally divided in this nature until sometime in the 1980s when the original 3 lots were merged into the current 2 based on Committee of Adjustment approval at that time. Proposed dwellings are shown here. The dwellings are proposed to be 1.5 stories each. So we'll go into some details on the proposed zoning changes. I won't go into full details on here, but I can mention that lot 101, which is the corner lot, and then lot 102 and 103, counting from the east to the west. 102 and 103 are the interior, and there's different zone requirements for each type. So I'll just highlight the main ones. On lot 101, lot frontage is proposed to be reduced by 2 meters. Lot area is proposed to be reduced by 135 square meters. Rear yard setbacks are proposed to reduce by approximately 3.5 meters. On lots 102 and 103, lot frontage is proposed to reduce by approximately 3.5 meters. Lot area by approximately 203.5 meters. Front yard setback reduced by about 2.1 meters and the rear yard setback by 1.5 meters. It was a decision or direction by staff originally to pursue this as a zoning bylaw amendment rather than a minor variance because simply the scale of the changes requested was more appropriate. And it was determined that council have an opportunity to look at this and give approval for the zoning changes prior to the committee taking a look at it. Photographs for the gallery. Subject property from the east across the open space area. Next is the corner of Loomis, Crescent, and Shannon Road North. The subject property is on the west side, on the left side of the photograph. This is 0 Loomis Crescent from Loomis, from the other side of the road, taken in the northeast direction. And finally, number 8 Loomis Crescent, which is the western neighbor of the subject property. So in terms of an application timeline, pre-consultation on this property occurred in November of last year. Complete application was deemed to be received on May 4th of this year. The neighborhood meeting was held on May 19th. There was six members of the public attended, I believe. Notice of the public meeting, of this public meeting, went out on May 23rd, and we're at the public meeting tonight. Next steps for this application, would be public comments received. Staff report and council decision would ideally be in July. Notice of decision subsequent to that, and a 20-day notice should any appeals be lodged. Thank you, Your Worship.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sullivan. Do any members of council have any questions? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor Redicott. Mr. Sullivan, how do the proposed changes in lot coverage and setbacks compare with neighboring properties?
Your Worship, through the council, staff haven't got into a complete analysis of that at this point. That would be during the recommendation report. However, we're in because of the parking situation in the area, the minimum 3-meter setback on the side lot is being maintained in all three properties to permit parking to be achieved.
I'll look forward to that information.
Any other councillors? Mr. Sullivan, I wonder if we could just, as a follow-up to Councillor Passero's question, go to the aerial photograph that you had, because I think it shows not only this parcel, but some of the adjacent properties. Gives a little bit of assistance with respect to other setbacks and lot sizes. Thank you very much. So we'll now move to the proponent or an agent for the proponent. That'd be Frank DiCosimo, or an agent on his behalf. That would be John Hopkins, brother of Mark Hopkins.
Back a bit further if you prefer.
Mr. Hopkins, I wonder for the record and for the benefit of our clerk, I wonder if you could indicate your name, the law firm that you are with.
My name is John Hopkins. I'm here speaking on behalf of the proponent. I'm a lawyer at Broderick & Partners in Niagara Falls. And my brother doesn't live in Fort Erie.
No, but he was at an environmental meeting the other night.
Well, I just like to thank Mr. Sullivan for filling in most of the details. I want to speak generally about what my clients propose to do. Excuse me. And I asked Mr. Sullivan to put this picture up on the screen. My clients purchased not just the block we're talking about, but three adjoining parcels of land. What's shown as lot 11, 13, what's shown as lot 5, and what's shown as lot 61, I think, as well as the parcel we're concerned with. Lots, it's actually 111 and 113 on Conway, the street at the rear. Those had derelict dwellings in them. my clients have reconstructed one of those dwellings, in both inside and out. It will be sold this week, I think, and they will. There is a new building in the neighborhood, and it will be new residents there. My clients have recently received a building permit to reconstruct the formerly derelict buildings on what's shown as 11 and 13 there, and on what's shown as lot 61 there, which was a vacant parcel of land. They have received a building permit, and construction is underway there. So... For what it's worth, my clients have invested considerably in the neighborhood. This is an infill project. Lots 101, 102, and 103, as Mr. Sullivan told you, were originally three lots on the old plan. And all the lots in the neighborhood are as they were in the old plan, and they've been built on as they were in the old plan. For some reason, in the early 80s, the three lots were made into two lots, and we're trying to return them to three lots. And in doing that, we will have lots consistent in size with the neighborhood. I have... made some notes on the lot sizes of adjoining lots, and for example, the lot directly to the west of us That was the last picture you saw in this presentation. That lot has a 37.9 foot frontage. Our lots will have about 37 and change as well. So we're attempting to go back to what was the original lot size in the neighborhood. Of course, building new houses on those lots, which we see as improving the neighborhood and, of course, adding to the base. This is an infill project. We will be building our single-family dwellings, which is consistent with the neighborhood. That's what it's about, Mr. Mayor.
Do you have anything further? Any members of council have any questions? There, I believe this is this the report where the owner is planning on constructing 1.5-story height homes?
Correct.
Okay. And what would the size of those homes be?
Size is as shown in the report. Excuse me.
This indicates in our report the lot coverage, which I suppose I could calculate it, but I thought you might have that.
Well, as
those are the questions I had. Any other councillors have any questions? No. Thank you very much, Mr. Hopkins. At this point, then, I'll ask if there's anyone in the audience who wishes to speak to council with respect to the application. Have any questions that they want to ask? Yes, please come forward, sir. Could we have your name and address for the record, please?
John Strawn, 17 Loomis Crescent.
Please proceed.
The three houses that they want to build across the road, where they said there was three lots there. That was 35 years ago when anything went. They could build it on a postage stamp if they could, you know.
Well, that's not completely accurate.
Sorry?
That's not completely accurate. Those were lots on a plan of subdivision. Many of the houses that have been constructed here would have been built on those 35-foot lots. So there was some... wasn't completely the Wild West, and Crystal Beach was actually an identified village separated from Burton Township. So there may not have been a program that satisfied you, but there was a program that required construction on existing lots on a plan.
Also, post office around the corner makes Loomis Crescent the busiest street in probably Fort Erie, never mind just Crystal Beach. The traffic on that road is tremendous. People move in the houses there with kids. Cars right now fly around that corner. I can see something happening somewhere, guaranteed. Not enough room to build three houses on that lot. No parking anywhere.
Okay. Do you have anything further, sir? Further comments or questions?
No, except for the other houses they built already. There's one house they're building right now with a bunkie in the back of it, which was a house at one time. It's 1,100 square foot, 1.5-story house, now considered a bunkie.
Sorry, what's that mean? A bunkie?
A bunkie, a small dwelling in the backyard.
Oh, okay.
Or you can have another house, kitchen, bedrooms, another rental property.
So is that shown on this map here?
No, it's not.
It's 11, the one that's designated 11-13, and there's a building at the back? That's what you're referring to?
Yes, you're right. 11 and 13, yes.
Okay.
So is that legal to have two houses on one lot? Is that okay for one tax code?
That's something that we would have to look at, and you've raised the issue, so we have the planner who can make a note of that and can ask bylaw enforcement with respect to that, and he can take a look at it as well. He's the planner. That's a point that's actually separate and distinct from the application that's before us, but it's a salient point for us to look into.
Okay, because I just heard tonight they have permits to carry on with it now. Wondered how they got permits already.
Right, well, we'll look into that. Before you go, Mr. Strawn, any members of council have any questions? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak to council? Yes, please come forward, sir. Could we have your name and address, please, for the record?
My name is Pat Poirier, and I live at 123 Cambridge Road.
Yes, please proceed.
Okay, the problem I find with this property is that, being a former builder myself, there is not enough room for parking on the property for the owner's vehicles. You know, today, most families have a minimum of 2 vehicles. There is barely enough room for 1 vehicle on this property. Now, put in advance to when they receive company, or they have a birthday party, or any kind of gathering. Now, everybody's going to park out on Loomis. And if not on Loomis, they'll be parking on Shannon. Now, congesting the area even further. We don't need all that traffic in that area. I respectfully request the council to turn down this application, and we'll go back to what John said about the bunkie. Bunkie is a little house on the back of a property to accommodate visitors. What's going to happen here, and I can see it, and you can look into it, what's going to happen is that the bunkie will become a rental. The person that buys the house in front will rent this out. God knows what they're going to do. Secondly, this bunkie, we were promised at the public meeting back in May that it would be boarded up, closed up, until they started construction on it. Nothing has been done. The owner of the property promised me that at that meeting, that we would board the windows all up. Now it's wide open for kids to get in there and get hurt and so forth. So I respectfully request council and your worship to turn down this application. Thank you.
Before you go, Mr. Poirier, do any members of council have any questions? I do. So looking at this picture that's up above, there appear to be a lot of houses that are relatively close to the road. And there would appear to be a lot of houses that wouldn't have a lot of latitude for parking. So where do people park now if they come to visit?
Well, they park on the empty lot. Empty lots right now. Okay. Or they park on the street or at the corner of Lincoln East, Shannon, and Loomis Crescent. There, you see that sort of triangle there? That's where they park.
So the situation as it exists today, right now, is that there are 2 houses that could be built on that lot 0, which is circled in or outlined in yellow.
I wouldn't have any problems with 2 houses being built on it. It's the third one. Yeah. Neither property has the facility for parking vehicles. Give them the permits to build 2 houses, or give them the permit to put a double semi on there. That's fine. I'm all in for that. But to put a third property there, I think that it would happen exactly what I said. The streets would be congested, and like John stated prior, Loomis is probably one of the busiest streets in Fort Erie, like he said, if not the busiest, because they come down from Shannon, go to the post office around the circle there, come back up Derby and around Loomis and back out Shannon again. And we have enough like that bunkie is a derelict house. We have one on the corner of Lincoln and Shannon. Cambridge and Shannon. We have a house there that's totally empty, infested with rats, mice, and this is what we're contending with. Raccoons and so forth. I know it has nothing to do with this tonight, but I thought I'd bring it up.
That's fine. If you look at that map, which corner is that on?
What, that?
You said right? Shannon and Cambridge. Which corner?
Right.
Is there a number on it that you can
see?
Yeah,
15. 15, yeah.
Mr. Brady, I wonder if you could make a note
of
that.
The city has instructed people to go in there and cut the grass and cut everything else that's on that property and try and clean it up. But you can't clean it up when you got all infestation of animals in the property.
Anything further?
No, I have nothing further.
Any counselors? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Worship.
Is there anyone else that wishes to address counsel? Okay, so we'll go with the gentleman who had his hand up first, and then we'll go to you, ma'am. We have your name and address.
James Bouchard, 8 Loomis Crescent.
Please proceed.
Everybody's talking about how busy the street is. No one said anything yet about how narrow the street is. And there is a telephone pole right at the back of my, or the end of my driveway, rather. There's a sidewalk on one side, and the proposed place where they want to put the houses, there's no sidewalk. So if you're parking on the sidewalk to let the cars go by and the bylaw officer comes by, you're going to get a ticket. Yet if you park on the road past the sidewalk, car can't get by you. So I just wanted to bring that up because everybody else has brought up what they said, but no one said anything about the street. Oh, and one other thing, there is a city light on that corner of where that empty lot is, and there's another one on Derby. Between Derby and Shannon, there is no light. It's pitch black there at night. Yet there's a telephone pole right at the end of my driveway. I don't understand that.
And your house is number 8?
Number 8.
Right beside the...
Right beside the lot, process. Yes.
Okay. Any members of council have any questions of Mr. Bouchard?
Thank you.
Councillor Passero, hold it, Mr. Bouchard. Come back. Councillor Passero has a question.
Just a question of clarification. The sidewalk then is on the north side or the south side?
South side.
South side,
yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
very much,
thank
sir.
You very much.
Ma'am, you're up. Good evening. We have your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Barbara Alexander, and I'm at 15 Loomis, right across the street from that lovely derelict house, which is a real eyesore. We laughingly watch, I could show you video of the raccoons that live in that house. There's a lot of it, as the gentleman before had said, infestations. And we'll be pleased to see that go. But the part that we're concerned about is the fact that it hasn't been boarded up. Any of the work that has been done there, there hasn't been any fencing until this spring, and they've been doing work there for a little over a year. So, and it's taken so long. I don't think they've worked on that property since the end of winter. So, and I don't think it has anything to do, obviously, with this evening, because we're talking about lots 11 and 13. They've got some listed there as their so-called bunkie, which is a two-story house.
That's what you're talking about.
Also.
We're talking about zero.
Zero. Well, that's all a concern. It's all a concern because it's sitting there. All of it's sitting like it's derelict right now. Even the building that they put up on 11, it's been sitting there for months. And the one at zero, they took the windows out of it last fall. We were hoping they would tear it down after they took all the trees off that lot. Then they left it all winter. Then they came in at the end of winter and they started putting in, obviously I would think rooms or something in there, but the windows in that are all still open. And we see kids and people in there just about every weekend. So I don't know if it's neighbors. There was a couple adults we saw in there one day. It's just not safe, and it shouldn't be left that way. And they did come and cut the grass at 7 o'clock in the morning on the Thursday after the last meeting, after they promised they would cut the grass, which we thought was really cute at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I have video of that, too. Also, we're concerned because the grass has got to be at least 2.5 feet high right now. So if they're really serious about taking care of this property and making it nice for the rest of us, that would be lovely. But our concern is we have an Escalade, and we're at 15, as I said. And it is hard to get in and out of there as it is with a vehicle that size because of how narrow that street is. In fact, when they do build on that lot, we won't be able to, we like to actually back into our driveway, but that street is so narrow that when that lot is actually someone's front lawn or driveway or whatever, we're not going to be able to back into our driveway. We'll have to actually drive in. And with the little, I think what their name. They're like a little motorcycle that goes around. They're electronic. You can't hear them. We almost hit a lady one day. We were going very slow, and she came out around us and really startled us. And we asked her if she was okay in that, too, because obviously it must have startled her, too. I don't know if she just wasn't paying attention, but it's a very narrow sidewalk. Two people can't walk on that sidewalk. It's one-breasted. And you can imagine how narrow that street is when you can't properly back out into it. You almost have to do a three-point turn. That's how narrow that street is. So if we've got three driveways coming off that street, I can't see that working. It makes no sense. For safety of the people that would be buying, I think it'd be unfair for the people that would be buying those lots. I think two homes would be lovely, but we'd love to see the one that's there gone, that's for sure. Or at least fixed up.
The one that you're referring to is the one that's immediately north of the yellow line?
Right.
It's on actually a different parcel.
Okay. I believe 11 and 13 is what they're calling it. You can barely see the outline of it because it's just barely on 13.
Right.
But I imagine it was actually the original home for zero.
Right. But you're all of a similar mind, and that is that building needs to come down.
Yes. Or something.
Yes.
But really, after sitting like that, I wouldn't buy it. I was actually warned not to buy the one on 17 because of what it was shaped like before. We hadn't really looked.
Okay. Did you have anything further that you wanted to?
Just that we'd be concerned
about?
If it is young families, and if they're going to put 11,000 square feet, 1,100, sorry, that is going to be taking up most of those lots. And the same thing, where is the driveways going to be? Because already most of our neighbors have trouble parking. They really do. We're fortunate we can get two cars on TARs. But most of the driveways there, you can't. They're not big enough. So that's my concern.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Alexander. Do any members of council have any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to address council with respect to this proposed property rezoning? If there are none, then I'm going to declare this public meeting closed. And the reports for each of these properties are going to be dealt with shortly by council as part of our agenda. That then takes us to consent agenda items. Are there any reports that anyone wishes removed from the agenda? I'd like to have PDS 47-2016 dealt with separately. That is the request for an extension of draft plan approval for Crystal Ridge Landing draft plan, so we'll deal with that separately. Are there any? So can I have a motion to put the balance of the consent agenda items on the floor, Councillor Zanko? Are there any questions with respect to any of the reports that are in the consent agenda? I had a question with respect to the soccer club lease. And the question was, it would appear that the town will be paying the insurance.
Your Worship.
Okay. And the maintenance will be performed by, the light maintenance will be performed by the soccer club. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Worship.
And capital repairs or capital improvements will be the responsibility of the municipality?
That's right. Yes, Your Worship.
Okay. Thank you. Does anyone else have any other questions? Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to Mr. Brady. In reading PDS 46-2016, I see that we've had the second strongest first quarter in the past 5 years. Can you just comment on how we're doing from a manpower perspective in the meeting the expected time frames for permit issuance?
Through you to the counselor. We have on staff now, we've added our plans review person. He's on full time, which has helped us immensely. And we now have a contract building inspector, which we bring in 1 to 2 days a week. So our complement has gone up, and I would glad to announce that we're getting the building permits out, not quite as fast as I want them to be, but we're looking at something like about 11 days is the average that we're at right now. I'm hoping to cut that back even more, and at our last business subcommittee meeting, we were advised that we should put in a request for an additional staff member for building inspection, and that has gone in, and it's moving through the process at the present time.
Councilor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to Mr. Brady, through the first quarter, we had over $10 million in development going through from a permit classification through the Planning and Development Services. So my question is, I guess more so, or my comment is, firstly, you know, excellent work with the resources we've had. Seeing that this trending is year over year getting stronger and stronger, I guess I just want to put the comment out there that if we're looking at second and third quarter, is it in your opinion that we're going to see the same type of expected increase because it was almost a 100% increase over the previous year in the first quarter?
Mr. Brady.
Through to Councillor Nutt. Based on the information that we have at the present time, our staff are very, very busy in terms of moving out development permit applications, which is great. I'm very pleased to announce that. I anticipate that 2016 will be a banner year for the town of Fort Erie, both in terms of the number of building permits that are issued, but also in terms of the value of the building permits. So we continue to do that. And as other parts of the report have identified, there are additional subdivisions which are coming on stream in terms of the services that are going in place, which will therefore create the need for more permits for the lots that will be created through as they are registered. So 2016 and into 2017, if my crystal ball is any good, which it is sometimes and not always, but it looks like we'll be having some very good years in terms of activity, and we do need some more assistance. We're trying to deal with that as we move forward, and that will be brought to council in the near future.
Councillor Nutt. Thank you. Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor DeCup. I'm in favor of allocating whatever resources we need to upstairs to keep this moving along. The one thing we discussed in our customer service meeting was when we referenced the 10-day or 15-day timelines, and that's still being referenced as far as business days. And I'd like to get us to a point where we're looking at 10 days. You know, unfortunately, we calendarize things as Monday to Friday, but that's not how most of the world still works. So if we're going to be telling people 10 days, it should be 10 days because people are getting out their calendars and forecasting 10 days from now. So if we're looking at 10 days real time, then we need to get this down to maybe 6 or 7 to include a couple of weekends in there. And whatever we need to do to make that happen, we need to make that happen. So I look forward to that request coming forward. Definitely has my support.
Any other councillors? Mr. Brady, maybe you can also respond. The PDS 48, which deals with the extension of Willow Trail, is there an issue with respect to the setbacks on the existing townhouses, or is there some rerouting of the of Hibbard in the vicinity of those existing that existing block of townhouses?
The existing townhouses, when they were built too close to the road. And we learned of that when we were doing the inspections after the basements had been poured. There was a couple of suggestions at that time, either to remove those basements and push them back, and it was felt reasonable at that point in time that we would reduce the front yard setback to allow the those ones that had been built, the basements had been built, to continue on to be to become the townhouses that are there today. That is not the case for the additional townhouses that will be built in that subdivision, and we're keeping a very close eye on whenever those permits come in to ensure that the setbacks that were the original setbacks as required will be put in place. In retrospect, now that I see the buildings that are up and the angle on the driveways, it probably would have been best to ask for them to be demolished when they had made the mistake. But at that time, the house builder, if you will, begged to allow them move forward and didn't want to deal with the extra cost of dealing with the mistake.
There's no proposed or impending realignment of the road at all in that area?
Not at this time.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other questions? If not, then I'll call the question with respect to the consent agenda items that are in the package. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That leaves report 47. I wonder if we could have a motion to put that on the floor. Zero. Are there any questions or comments with respect to that particular request for an extension of draft approval? I had a couple of questions. This report indicates that the original approval was in 2006, and there have been a series of extensions, and part of that had to do with the fact that there was some litigation between the owner of the property and a proposed builder. The last extension was granted 2 years ago, and I'm wondering if there's what activity has actually taken place in the past 2 years. Mr. Brady, be able to respond to that?
Yes. My understanding is that with the completion of the litigation and the now the understanding of the ownership pattern on the property, that this property is now available. And in terms of a possible sale, and there are at least two parties who have shown some interest in acquiring the property and either building it as is or making some modifications to it and asking us to redline it. We've had discussions with a couple of parties in that respect. So the developer of the lands would like to continue to have it as draft plan approved because it provides a soundness to the fact that it's developable, but we expect that there will be some activity in the very near future. But in terms of clearing conditions, the conditions remain the same.
So there's, from what you're saying, it doesn't sound like there's been much activity in the last 2 years. Is that a fair statement or is that a little harsh?
Other than the interest shown by others to acquire the property, that's a fair statement.
And I note that the letter from the representative of the developer indicates, which is Appendix 3, indicates that they're currently working on detailed engineering for the property and anticipate to finalize all of the conditions within the next year. I'm just wondering whether it wouldn't be prudent to extend this for a year, or at least extend it to July of next year and see where the developer is.
That's certainly council's prerogative. I wouldn't stand in the way of it or fight against that kind of comment. I think it would be perhaps helpful to send a message to the developer that the council is interested in this moving forward, and that is one way of doing so.
And what would your, you're the director of planning, what would your views on that be if we were to extend it to next July?
If you would extend it for a year from today, so that would be 1 year from today, then I would, that would be fine. We would explain that to the developer and let the developer understand that we would be looking for some serious movement before any consideration would be given in a year's time if necessary.
Okay. Else have any questions? Councilor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redica. Just to get some clarification, are you going to make the amendment that we just do it for 1 year? Is that what we're doing now?
Well, I'm waiting to hear if there's any other councilors that have any thoughts on that. I'd have to step out of the chair if I'm going to do that.
All right, okay, thank you.
Do you have any thoughts on that, Councilor Lubberts? You can help.
Well, no, I agree with you. I mean, it's in the report that he figures that he'll have everything done in a year. And if he's going to have everything done in a year, I think that a year from now we'll, he should come forward with everything done, and then we'll move the plan forward. And so, I'm going to, if you make the amendment, I will support the amendment.
Does anyone else want to throw their oar in the water here, or not throw it, put it in the water? If you throw it in the water, that's not going to be much help, is it? Councillor Passero.
I would support that as well, with the understanding that should something significant happen or a setback with justification, we always have the ability to extend for one more year. But I agree. I think a message does need to be sent that at this time we're not willing to just give 2 years away. So I think 1 year is sufficient given Mr. Brady's explanation of what has happened the previous 2 years and what's on the docket for the next 12 months.
So to make this simpler, if one of you two would be good enough to move, Councillor Nutt's going to move.
Yeah, I was just, Your Worship, I was just going to go ahead and move the amendment that we amend the first at to read that Council extends draft plan approval for the Crystal Ridge Landing Plan subdivision located on the north side of Thunder Bay Road and the west side of Prospect Point Road until June 13th, 2017, and the owner and the regional municipality of Niagara Planning and Development Services Department be so advised.
Okay. That's on the floor. Are there any questions or comments with respect to that? Clear? All those in favor? Opposed. Thank you very much, Councillor Nutt. So that gets us to Planning and Development Services, and that would be Councillor McDermott.
Thank you, Your Worship. Planning and Development Services is now in session. We have no presentations or delegations this evening, so we'll move to reports PDS 49-2016. Councillor Zanko. Are there any comments or questions? Your Worship?
Yeah, the only comment that I would have is we do require alternative housing. We do need rental units. I'm, at this stage of the game, a little skeptical about the size of these units, but I don't really know how this is going to pan out. I heard with interest comments by Ms. Jovanovic, and to some extent they were vague in nature. There was a point that was, I think there was a point that I was driven at, and maybe I'm tired or maybe I wasn't listening closely enough, but I think I heard the point, and I don't know that, I think we've got some conflicting policy issues here that we need to look at, but this is for information purposes. This is kind of the go-ahead. I'd be interested. I'm surprised that there's been virtually no public response with respect to this from the neighborhood. So I guess to some extent, if the people that live there forward, so am I, and we'll see what comes forth. So I'm going to support the recommendations, see what comes forth next month.
Councilor Nutt?
Thank you, Chair McDermott. Through you to Ms. Dolch, I just have a question. Is this going to be placed under site plan?
Through you to the councillor. No, it would not be placed under site plan unless we had some site changes. Right now, there's no site changes proposed, so there's no need for site plan. It's all internal renovations.
Okay, so there are no plans to improve the external look or feel of the building or to modernize it or anything like that to improve the facade?
Through you to the councillor. I'm not aware of any, but if there are changes, that would be dealt with through the building permit process.
Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're looking at upwards of 7 dwelling units. I'm wondering, through you to staff, what constitutes a dwelling unit? Are we looking at kitchen, bathroom for each? What direction are we going here?
Through you to the councillor. A dwelling unit includes a kitchen and sanitary facilities, so it is both. There was some confusion through confusion that the applicant was indicating there would be a central kitchen. We've now made sure that that isn't the case. It will not be on the plans. It will not be shown. These are for apartment dwelling units, which will have their own separate kitchen and washroom facilities.
Thank you, Ms. Dolch. And just a further comment, the building, I think, has a little bit further to go as far as appearance. Could definitely use some TLC, but much better than what it was when it was vacant. New fence in the back, new paved parking areas, so it did have to undergo a lot of changes to bring it up to better standards than what it was. So definitely not the worst position that it could be in. And I've had a couple of residents reach out to me only because we had spoke previously when it was going through that conversion. And if given the choice between continuing in entity as a restaurant and bar versus apartments, if we can make it happen and do it properly, they much prefer the apartments.
Any further questions? Then I'll call the question. All in favor? Opposed, if any? Carried. So we'll move on to PDS 50-2016, the proposed zoning bylaw amendment for Zero Loomis Crescent. Mover in a second, or a mover, please. Councillor Butler. Any comments or questions? Councillor Nutt, and then Councillor Lubert.
Yes, through yourself to Mr. Brady or Ms. Dolch, the property to the west of it, 8 Loomis, I believe, do you know what size of building that is? Is it a single story? Is it a 1.5?
Through you to the councillor, it's a single story.
And generally the makeup of the buildings in this neighborhood, what size are they? Are there many 1.5 stories, 2 stories?
Generally they're single and a half story, not a ton of 2 story, but there are some in the larger neighborhood, yes.
Thank you.
Councillor Lubert?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just a couple questions. Going back to the zoning that's there now and looking at the lot, it was 2 lots. What was the reasoning behind making it 2 lots from 3 lots back in the 80s? Was there any...
Through you to the councillor. So what occurred was that they came in for a severance application unaware that there were 3 lots underneath in the lot fabric, existing lots of record there. So they did the consent application and they created 2 lots. So generally what we have is a whole lot of part lot of part lot and a whole lot underneath all of this mess. And none of it's been deemed. It's all there. But there is a consent. And once a consent, always a consent. So we do have two parcels now. Like I said, the underlying fabric is still a little messy. But those three lots always existed. They just dropped a consent line or a severance line on top of those lots.
Yeah, but for what reason?
At the time, they weren't aware that there were three lots. So they were just severing it and back in the 80s to create a separate lot there. But they weren't aware that there was three lots already existing underneath.
Yes, I understand that they weren't aware, but they wanted two lots so that they could build.
For you, the counselor, yes, that would be my guess.
Could they not build on the three lots?
They could have. They just weren't. Again, it wouldn't have met the bylaw provisions. I don't know. Back in the 80s, I'd have to look that up. But I don't believe they would have met the bylaw provisions for frontage and lot area. And that's why we're here today. Our zoning bylaw currently requires you to have a minimum of 14 meters of frontage for existing lots of record.
Yes, and that's what I'm looking at here. We go back to the slide where it shows what's required and what's proposed. And I have to listen to the people that are living in the neighborhood. And I understand where people come forward and they say, well, if you look at what's happening in the neighborhood and what happened before, but with what we see what happened before, it was a problem. And now we're recognizing the parking and they don't have proper parking spaces. They're parking on someone else's empty lot or they're parking around the corner. You know, if they get company. And I think what we're doing is if we give them three lots now, we're going backwards and we're going back to creating not just a problem with the houses that are existing now. Now we're going to add three more problems on top of that. And I'm curious as to, I know staff, your position is the application is brought forward, so you have to bring the application forward. It's not whether staff agrees or disagrees. Is that correct?
Through to the council, that is correct. We once the application comes in, we do have to bring it forward whether we agree with it or not.
Yes. So now it's up to council, and I would like to caution council on these are the problems that we run into. And with two lots, they can build two homes, and they can have ample parking for themselves or a guest, or if they have two cars themselves. And we're just going to compound the problem that's existing now with the houses that are built the way they're built. And I don't know that I know we're just bringing it up for information purposes, but I don't know that I would support going backwards. I think we need to take a look at what we have, go forward and say, here's the lot sizes that we require now, and let's not cause any problems for the neighbors. Those are my comments.
Councillor Zanko and then Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to comment. I do agree with the concern that Councillor Lubritz has brought forward. I will support this as it's for information purposes only, and I think it's only fair to allow the applicant approval for information and to pursue it further. But I will be looking forward to more of a more formal report coming to Council and hopefully can address some of the concerns that Councillor Lubritz has noted.
Councillor Passero. All in favor? Carried. Okay, we'll move on to PDS 51-2016, the Stevensville Secondary Plan Confirming Requested Modification.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any comments or questions? Councillor Knott.
Thank you, Chair McDermott. Through yourself to Mr. Brady. I do have a couple questions, particular in regards to property 2648, as noted in the report. If we approve this and move this forward, what will happen to the owner of the property who has a pending application for the building?
My understanding is that there has been some preliminary information provided to us in terms of a building permit, and that's being reviewed at the present time. But that's the only application that I'm aware of, is the potential building permit which has been submitted.
Okay, that being said, through you, Chair McDermott, to Mr. Brady, if we approve this, do you consider that building permit or preliminary information to be an application in process? Is it an approved application? Is it a completed application? What's your opinion of the status of it?
The building permit needs to conform to the zoning that's in place at the time that the building permit's being considered. My understanding is that, and Kira, tell me if I'm wrong, is that this particular building permit meets the zoning?
Councilor Knight, we're still looking at that. I know building staff is looking at the height still. We need some confirmation on the height, whether it meets the zoning provisions. We have looked at the side yard setback earlier tonight, so we're continuing to look at that at this point, but we'll probably have a better indication either tomorrow or the next day on the zoning, whether it conforms with zoning or not.
Through you, Chair McDermott. The million-dollar question is, he's requesting for continued use as the existing zoning, as it's zoned a gas station right now. He wants to open a gas station. He's filed for his business license. So if we approve this report right now, does it stop him from proceeding with his plan on opening a gas station there?
Through you to the councillor. Right now, in terms of he's doing, from what I understand from building staff, and I've seen them just briefly, he's doing a second floor mezzanine up top, which will increase the height of the building. If that doesn't meet the bylaw requirements, obviously he could run into issues moving forward. If he wants to keep the existing building as is and keep using it, extend out as we looked at that addition, I don't see a problem with that at this point. And like I said, then it wouldn't delay you from looking at this this report tonight. But there is there could be an ability or an issue arising from the height. And I, as we indicated, we don't have the exact height at this point.
Councillor Knott.
Through you, Chair McDermott. To Ms. Dolch, back in, I forget which month it was, February, it was a cold month, Councillor Passero and I attended the locations with the owner and with Keegan, and there are structural repairs that need to be done to this building. If we approve this report tonight, does it stop the permitting process and not allow him to proceed with the structural repairs to open a gas station on the property? Yeah. Yes or no?
Through you to the councillor. I don't know. I'm not a chief building official, so I couldn't answer that.
Councillor McDermott, Chair, I'm going to ask that we postpone this until the next council and committee in July, approving this report.
So you want to defer it until, or postpone?
Until July 11th.
There's no debate, right? Okay, so we're going to postpone that until the July 11th meeting. Is there a vote on that, Your Worship? All in favor? All right. Opposed? So we'll move on to PDS 53-2060, which is a recommendation report for an amendment to the town's comprehensive zoning bylaw, number 12990, and fence bylaw 70-2013. I get a mover for that. Councillor Zanko. Any comments or questions? Councilor Passero?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question for staff. I realize that we require for the provision of something in certain areas according to the plans, the open construction, so wrought iron, board-on-board fence, but open construction. In some situations where you have that fence immediately adjacent to a property and you're backing out of that property, even though it may be open construction, because of the angle you're coming back on, you can't see through it because the boards appear solid in nature as you're looking at them. And I'm just wondering what takes precedence, the sight line of somebody leaving their driveway, or do they point to the fact as the fence owner and say, well, it's open construction and it is permitted? Nobody wants to take that.
I will take it. That's fine.
Mr. Brady, thank you.
It goes with the open construction. Open construction, the idea of having it open is to be able to allow it to be transparent in a certain fashion. So that's why we're asking for that in these cases.
If I can clarify, this is on a corner lot, so the open construction is the portion facing the road. And the difficulty is when you're pulling out of the driveway, even though it's open construction, when you're facing head on, when you are perpendicular to the fence looking at it, when you're coming backing out from obviously forward to reverse, but when you're looking over to your right, that open construction now becomes closed construction because it looks like a solid piece of wood. Do you understand what I'm just saying? Is there a provision there where safety of a neighboring resident utilizing their driveway trumps the fact that, yes, it's open construction and it adheres to the bylaw?
Through you, Your Worship, to the councillor, since the public meeting back, I think about a month ago, we have made some revisions to the fence bylaw. One of those revisions was the removal of the permission of erecting fences within the site triangle. So if this is approved tonight, within the site triangle that you're speaking about, no fences will be permitted, and that's with 4.5 meters by 4.5 meters.
The 4.5 meters from each property line constitutes the site triangle, you, Your Worship, or Mr. Chair?
It's the corner, so at the property, at the intersection is the triangle. So within that area and then across.
It's the corner of streets.
Yeah.
Site triangles apply at the corners of streets.
So in this case, it's a corner property, but the issue is not necessarily at the corner itself. The issue is where the adjacent property abuts it. And because it's a corner property, it's allowed to have a fence in what anybody else would determine as the front yard, even though it's the side yard.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not really any site triangle provisions there because it's two abutting properties. It's not at the intersection.
Yep, so through the mayor to the councillor, where there's two abutting properties and there's a rear yard and then a front yard, that's actually considered a driveway triangle.
Okay.
And we've actually, since the public meeting, there's no longer fences permitted within that area.
Okay. I will go back to the property owner and contact bylaw and see what we can do for this situation because it is, I realize that the purpose of the open face, it's we don't want solid fencing across the streets. But even when it's open face and somebody's backing out, you look to your right, all you see is solid wood because of the angle you're approaching it at. So I think we need to look at that in particular situations. And as long as we have that allowance that we can do that, then I'm satisfied with passing this tonight. Thank you for the information.
Any further questions? All in favor? Opposed? Any? Carried. So we'll move on to PDS 54-2016, the proposed official plan and zoning bylaw amendment, 21 Winnemute Street. Councillor Butler, comments or questions? Seeing none, all in favor? Opposed, if any? Carried. Councilor Nutt.
Thank you, Chair McDermott. Over the weekend, I had the opportunity to visit with several of my constituents that live along West Main, and they have serious concerns with the Village Creek Estates report, which was discussed on April 16th, 2016. And through yourself to Mr. Brady, it's in regards to report 45-2016 at that meeting. It appears that the grading in phase two and phase three is almost 3 feet higher than their backyards. The drainage ditch between the property that runs down the swale with the property line is only about 3 inches deep. So that would cause severe flooding into the homes on the West Main. Several of my constituents had raised that they're unaware of what type of drainage plan or catch basin we're planning on ensuring goes in there to make sure that their homes and backyards do not get flooded. I'd like to request an inquiry that we have someone in planning take a look at that. And maybe there's some communication we can circulate to the residents along the West Main area going towards Ott Road and those individuals along Ott Road that will be bordered onto the previous known Bakersfield development, which is phase three of Village Creek Estates.
Mr. Brady, can you look into that for us?
Certainly, we'd be happy to look into that issue and provide that information. I could use a little clarity on the suggestion that there be a circulation to the West Main and Ott Road people. If I could have a little more precision on what the area was that we needed circulation to, then I can ensure that all those are taken care of.
Councilor Nutt, can you provide that after the meeting too?
Certainly, I can. Sorry, Your Worship, did you? If Mr. Brady can circulate it to me, I can I'll hand deliver the memo to the residents that I met with, because there was just a little more than five of the constituents who were there.
That would be great. Just I want to make sure that everyone gets information.
Councilor Butler?
Chair McDermott, I have a question for Mr. Brady, and I'm not sure whether or not you can answer this tonight, but we heard some of the constituents this evening with respect to their concern to derelict buildings or abandoned buildings. Currently, what does the bylaw allow the municipality to do for enforcement?
Mr. Brady?
Certainly, through to Councilor Butler. I'd like to thank you for the question. I'd like to back up. One of the things that we're trying to deal with Mr. DeCosmo and these properties is some of the buildings in that area, which have been not maintained as well over the past little while. They're not, and it's not Mr. DeCosmo's problem. Mr. DeCosmo has bought the property more recently, and he's been very, very helpful with us in our discussions in terms of trying to clean up this little piece of heaven in Crystal Beach. So one of the things that we try to do is work with people as much as possible, and when we have certainly a new owner who is interested in pursuing that, we try to deal with the building permits as expeditiously as we can, and we also try to provide a little bit of advice on such things as bunkies and all of those kinds of things that you heard of this evening. What can we do with a derelict building? Ultimately, if a derelict building is not structurally sound, we can demolish it. And actually, in this particular area of Crystal Beach, there was a building that was demolished last summer because there was some construction occurring on it. It wasn't finalized appropriately, and the town's forces did remove the building and put the costs of the demolition on the owner of the property through the tax. So we have that ability. What we try to do with bylaw enforcement generally is we try to respond to requests. If someone comes to us and says we have an issue with 453 Johnson Street, and that it appears to be a derelict building, then we can take a look at it. And what we try to do is we try to use the appropriate forces, which can be both building and fire, and go in. And again, the first attempt is to get the building rehabilitated. And then if that doesn't work, then we move to demolition. So I would encourage all members of council and any of your constituents that if they feel that there is a building that has the kinds of issues that were being discussed this evening, particularly the rodent form, that they let us know, and then we'd be happy to go in and do the investigations.
Thank you.
Your Worship.
Just to follow up on that, we've now got two complaints that we heard tonight, one with respect to the property at the corner of Cambridge and Shannon and this monkey. So some follow-up on that, those two?
There will be some follow-up with the Cambridge and Shannon. I believe the bunkie is being dealt with as a part of a building permit process in the reconstruction of the other building on the site. In fact, I believe that there is a sale going on in the very near future for someone to come in and buy both the building and the bunkie, and it will continue to move forward. So, but I'll certainly look into both the Cambridge and Shannon and the bunkie situation.
Your Worship?
Just to continue on with the bunkie, the house that's on Conway, I presume, back, and my understanding is you can have one residence per building lot. Is that correct?
Mr. Brady?
That's correct. There's one variation to that, and that is, if at some point in time in the past there had been an approval given for the second dwelling, or if the second dwelling was created prior to the zoning being put in place, and that it could be a legal non-conforming use.
And is that the position that the town is in with respect to the back lot on this particular parcel?
Mr. Brady?
I'm going to have to check into it, but I believe that's the case. I believe the bunkie is being considered a non-conforming use.
Because it sounds like it may not have been used at all for a considerable period of time, but I'd be interested to hear what information the planner gets back to us. Thank you.
Any further questions? Councilor Passero?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment based on the previous discussion. We also receive either semi-annually or annually reports from our bylaw enforcement officers regarding their activity, and it continues to go up year over year by tremendous margins. And I probably take more phone calls from residents and business owners on property standards issues compared to anything else. So this is an area where going forward I would look to allocate additional resources as well. For those who don't have the experience in dealing with the bylaw, every time that they issue many of their infraction notices, it's like preparing for a mini court case. The amount of paperwork that they have to prepare is unbelievable, and they spend just as much time, if not more, in their cubicle as they do actually out. And that's one of the reasons I believe that we've trended towards or always had a complaint-driven system. I think we need to get away from that. I think we need to have a serious conversation about whether we allocate additional resources to that department and actually have bylaw out in the community looking at neighborhoods, looking at issues. The other issue I have with the complaint-driven process is automatically it becomes a who blew me in. You have neighbors looking at other neighbors, and I think we need to trend away from that. I think people need to know that it's the municipality that's now on top of things. It's not their neighbor looking over their fence. And I think a lot of situations like this have gone on for years and years and years because nobody's complained, and we're not actively looking for these types of things. It's during other instances when issues arise. So I look forward to that discussion this year and maybe next budget year to see what we can do. If it's not the provision of an initial bylaw officer, maybe it's the provision of some admin support to them on the paperwork end of things so they can be out in the field more. But I think this is something that's seriously becoming almost a crisis issue given resources versus the number of complaints and the number of issues that we face in town. So I'll bring that up further at a more appropriate time. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there any further comments or questions? Then we'll move on to the business status report. Are there any questions about that? Seeing none. We are done in planning and development.
Thank you very much, Councillor McDermott. That takes us to infrastructure services, and that's Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. Infrastructure Services is now opened. We do not have any presentations or delegations. So can I get a mover for IS-17-2016, award of quotation for replacement of mechanics garage hoist? Councillor Butler? That report is now on the floor. Are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? That carries. Next, that brings us to IS-19-2016, Servicing Agreement Approval, Tykalis Holding Limited, Safari Niagara, 2781 Regional Road, 116 Stevensville Road, Extension of Sanitary Sewers and Water Service Connection. And Councillor Butler, Luberts, and the Mayor have declared a conflict. Councillor Nutt beat you to it, Councillor McDermott. Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to commend Councillor Nutt for working on this file, as well as commend staff for finding what I believe is a creative solution to not only advance the proponent's interests, but also keep an eye out for the corporation's interests as well. I'm excited about the next phase of their expansion, and I'm happy that we can play a part in it. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments or questions? I will call the question. All those in favor? That carries. Does any of my colleagues have any matters of new business or inquiries? Seeing none, brings us to the business status report. Are there any questions or comments regarding the report? I will hand the chair back over to you, Your Worship.
Well done, Councillor Zanko. I'll now pass the chair over to the Chair of Corporate and Community Services, Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. No presentations or delegations tonight. We are dealing with land matters from the Land Committee of May 19, 2016. There is a recommendation that we approve the recommended tasks as outlined in Appendix 2. A mover for that? Councillor McDermott, comments or questions? Seeing none, all in favor? That's carried. New business or inquiry specific to Corporate and Community Services? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Chair Passero. I have a question for Mr. Jansen. I was asked by a constituent regarding water bills and where there is a landlord-tenant situation. So if the tenant doesn't pay their water bill, they get notices. But the landlord only gets the final notice, I guess, when the water is going to be cut off completely. One of the landlords asked me if there was a way where they could get notices at the same time that the tenant is, so that they can stop it dead in its track before it gets to a $600 to $1,000 issue. Is that possible without a fee being placed on the landlord?
Mr. Jansen, first, just for some background, whose name does a water bill go in? Do we allow tenants to have a water bill in their name, or is our policy still that just the property owner can hold a water account with us?
To the chair, I will have to confirm that exactly, but it typically is in the owner's name. We can make exceptions on the files, and I think, like you mentioned, there is charges, because usually it means we're issuing it in duplicate, but I can certainly look into that and get back to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Councillor Butler. Further comments or questions, new business or inquiries? Seeing none, comments on the business status reports? Seeing none, I'll hand the chair back to His Worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor Pursuer. That was even faster than the last one. That was the strategy. Are there any meetings that we need to be aware of? Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just wanted to bring to the community's attention that Under the Rainbow Child Care Center will be celebrating their 20th year with a free family fun night for the community. That's being held on Friday, June the 17th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. The staff at Under the Rainbow invite the community to come out to celebrate this milestone anniversary. There'll be fun for all ages. There'll be a barbecue, a book fair, bouncy houses, pony rides, magicians, door prizes, and raffle baskets. So we're hoping that the community all comes out to support and celebrate their 20th year anniversary.
Thank you. Any other meetings? There being none, could I call for a motion to adjourn? He was a little slow there, Councillor Basuro. I think he was contemplating staying.
I just was looking at my calendar, making sure there were no more meetings.
Okay.
But there actually is a meeting tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, the Transportation Steering Committee at the region at 9:30 to 11:30 in the morning.
That's been canceled.
Yeah.
That was canceled.
Yep. Okay. Hasn't gone from my calendar. I'm going to move that council adjourns at 7:38 p.m. to reconvene in our regular council or special council meeting.
Okay. All those in favor?